the rest of the story.
When did the white man first feel real guilt over what he had done to the red man in America? Well, that's difficult to say, and yet I have in my hands an essay dated 1858, written by an 18-year-old boy for his English class in a prestigious Eastern school. The author, whom intimates affectionately called Autie, was deeply concerned over the plight of the American Indian. He hoped that his composition would have a consciousness-raising effect. In fact, he was so proud of his essay, after it was graded and applauded, he sent it home to his family, which is why it's preserved to this day. The boy's profound emotion and literary inexperience seem to have prevented a more skillful treatment of the subject, and yet because it's not a long essay, I'd like to quote it beginning to end verbatim. It's entitled simply, The Red Man. Now I'm quoting, "When we first beheld the red man, we beheld him in his home, the home of peace and plenty, the home of nature. Sorrow-furrowed lines were unknown on his dauntless brow. His manly limbs were not weakened by being forced to sleep in dreary caves and deep morasses, fireless, comfortless, and coverless, through fear of the hunter's deadly rifle. His heart did not quake with terror at every gust of wind that sighed through the trees, but on the contrary, they were the favored sons of nature, and she, like a doting mother, had bestowed all her gifts on them. They stood in their native strength and beauty, stamped with the proud majesty of freeborn men whose souls never knew fear, or whose eyes never quailed beneath the fierce glance of man. But what are they now, those monarchs of the West? They're like the withered leaves of their own native forest, scattered in every direction by the fury of the tempest. The red man is alone in his misery. The earth is one vast desert to him. Once it had its charms to lull his spirit to repose. Now the home of his youth, the familiar forests under whose grateful shade he and his ancestors stretched their weary limbs after the excitement of the chase, are swept away by the axe of the woodsman. The hunting grounds have vanished from his sight, and in every object he beholds the hand of desolation. And we behold him now on the verge of extinction, standing on his last foothold, clutching his blood-stained rifle, resolved to die amidst the horrors of slaughter, and soon he will be talked of as a noble race who once existed but have now passed away," end quote. That was Autie's essay on the American Indian. It was a love letter, really. It might also be mentioned that as he was continuously on the verge of flunking out of school, that one appreciated paper may have helped keep him in school. By the way, the prestigious institution from which he eventually graduated was the United States Military Academy, West Point. Regarding Autie's emotional tribute to the American Indian, that doleful denunciation of the red man's oppression, a case could be made that its author's bleeding heart was too soft for soldiering. Or was it? For you see, the young man nicknamed Autie, the West Point cadet brimming with sympathy for the Indians, later became a major general. Major General George Armstrong Custer. And now you know the rest of the story.